you share that with people? Now, you're quiet this morning. I don't like quietness. I want to tell you that now, because around my house it's loud, especially when the kids are there and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. It's loud. And you know what? We can be loud in church. God's not nervous. I'm telling you, he's not nervous one bit. And nothing ever takes him by surprise. We had a man come to the church one time, and he missed the whole driveway. He got so nervous. He did. He run over the curb, and he missed the whole driveway leaving. He had never been in a service like we had. The Spirit of God was moving that morning. People were praising God, lifting hands. He run over to church, got in his car. He had brought a man with him, and that man had to get in the car with him. I don't believe I would have gotten in the car with him. Not after he run over to the driveway like he did. That's bad. God's with us. He's not nervous. Let me tell you something. You shouldn't be nervous either. When people ask you of the hope that lieth within you, you should share that word with them people. Let them see the excitement in you of the things of God. You see, God is exciting, isn't he? Especially when he does things. Oh, I'm telling you, I had a friend of mine. He gave his life to Christ, witnessed to him quite a few times on the job. Quite a few times I would tell him about the love of Jesus. You know, it's ironic how God places us in places of our lives in order to put us in the path of someone that he is calling to him. You ever notice that? And well, some people say, well, that just happened. That's just luck. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in happenstance. I believe in divine appointments. And this guy was, I befriended him immediately. Just soon as I went to that area of work, I befriended him. And it wasn't long after that, I would witness to him. I would tell him about the love of Jesus. I'd come back and tell him about the services we'd had in the church and the things, how God was moving in his spirit. It wasn't long. You know, you would have liked. And now, you know good and well, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, no, that ain't true. I don't think like that. You're in church. And you know what happens if you lie? That's right. Yeah. I would have really liked for him to come to my church and come to the altar and gave his life to Christ. But you know what? He went to somebody else's church and gave his life to Christ. You know what? I praise God for that. I praise God for that. Because that man is still serving God today and giving God the glory and the praise. You know what he said? You know what he, if he's preaching somewhere, he'll sometimes, I'll have a chance to go and sit down and listen to him. He always introduces me as a man that led him to Jesus. You know what he says? And I'm not boasting on me. Don't get me wrong this morning. Don't go outside and tell somebody, oh, he was up there on an ego trip this morning boasting on himself. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm boasting on my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the one. He said, because of his excitement for Jesus, he said, that's what reached me. The excitement that he had. He would come in and talk about the things of the Lord. And he would tell us of these things that were going on. And he said it was because of his excitement. He said, I'm saved today. Praise God. I thank God for that. We need to be excited about the things of God. God wants to work in our lives and in our hearts, but we have to let him, don't we? You know, we can just sit down and never do anything, and we'll never grow anywhere. It's just like your children. You know what? If you don't feed them, they ain't growing. If you don't teach them, not going to be much knowledge there. Same way with our spiritual walk with God. It's the same way. We need to feed our hearts and minds the things of God and get excited about God's presence and the work that he's doing in and amongst us, in our midst. I think it's exciting. When I read stories sometimes of, I've got a little book of miracles there where God has performed so many miracles down through the ages and how people give God the glory for those things. It's exciting to read those things. But you know what's more exciting than that? It's when God does it in our presence. It's when God allows me or you to be a part of that. It's when we seek God and say, God, I want to be used of you. Lord, use me in some area of my life. Use me to reach a soul for you. That ought to be our heart's desire, is to reach souls for God. Because we are living in a world today where people are dying and they're going to hell. They're slipping out into eternity and know nothing about Christ except what they've heard on the radios and TVs. And it's a sad day when we as Christians, our mouths are silent of the things of God. People used to be excited about things of God. I'm telling you, they would come in, man, and God had answered a prayer for them or done something, or they had witnessed to somebody and God had saved a soul. And man, they couldn't wait till they got to church and told everybody. They couldn't wait, that excitement about the things of God. That power of the Holy Spirit working in and through you and allowing Jesus to work. I've had people tell me everything. I don't believe man can heal nobody. I don't either. They said, well, didn't he what you just said? I said, no. I didn't say man healed him. I said, God used this man. The Holy Spirit worked through him. See, you see, we're instruments. We're instruments of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? God works through us. Now, I'll get to my text in a minute. I got to get this nervous in this area, you know. We all get nervous a little bit when we get up to preach and everything, especially when we got people like Ron Cannon in it, you know. I'm telling you, man, hard man to follow. But praise God. You know what? God can still use us old country bumpkins anyway, can't he? Yeah, he spoke through a donkey, so you know he can speak through me. So that's all right. I prayed and God give me a message. So, and I'm going to give it to you this morning. Let's turn in John's gospel today. Praise God. Here Christ is comforting the disciples. They were gathered together and he was comforting them. Right after the Last Supper. If you ever read that scripture, read in there where Judas asked Christ the question, especially in this gospel. That wasn't Judas Iscariot, by the way. If you go back, I believe it's in Luke chapter 6, there's two of them named Judas there. And this was the Judas that he was talking about. I just thought I'd throw that in. That's not what I'm speaking on this morning. In John's gospel in the 14th chapter, in the 12th verse, and I might move around a little bit on these scriptures, but that's all right. God knows what he's doing. Christ is comforting his disciples. And in the 12th verse here, let me find my place this morning. I tell you the truth. He said, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you asked in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. The key thing right there, that the Son may bring glory to the Father. If it's not bringing glory to the Father, it's not going to happen. I don't care how much you try to put yourself into it or how much you think you can conjure something up, you cannot do that. It doesn't work. It has to be to the glory of the Father. And he says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, a lot of people take that as we can just ask for anything. I knew a young man one time, and a man was witnessing to him. And they were kneeling and praying. And while he was kneeling and praying, this guy was a Christian. He had witnessed his heart out to this guy. And this guy, kind of, while he was praying with him, kind of poked fun. He said, yeah, God, give me a new truck. It wasn't long after that he was coming home from one of the bars, and he ran out the road, and the truck turned over on top of him and killed him. Be careful what you say. Be careful how you poke fun and say things that you shouldn't be saying. Verse 25 and 26 of that same chapter. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him. I'll start it with the 23rd one. And will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, let's go back to the verse 12 of here. Christ is saying, these things that you see me do, he said, you're going to do greater works than what you see me do. Now, is he saying that these disciples were greater than him? No, they wasn't saying that at all. He wasn't saying that at all. Greater works, the works that he was talking about, he wasn't saying that in terms of power and majesty, and in humans cannot surpass God's omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence. But what he was saying was, Christ was, the miracles that he done, the miracles and the raising of the dead and stuff like that, all these miracles that he done were in just a small area of ministry that Christ had there. But what he was saying was, that because today we have millions of people ministering the word of God, and these disciples went out and they went into all these other areas, into the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to go and you're going to preach these things. We see all kinds of miracles. We see people getting saved. We see things happening. Do people get raised from the dead today? Yes, they do. Sure, this has happened. So this is what he's saying here. These things, these greater works will you do than what you see me doing here. How will these things be done? Through the Holy Spirit working in and through us. You see, you say, well, you know, I've never seen none of these things done before. I've never had God. Are you listening for God to speak to you? Are you being obedient when the Holy Spirit speaks and says, I want you to talk to this person. I want you to lay hands on this person and speak to their hearts. Lay hands on them and pray for them. Anybody in here ever had God to do that? Did you do it? Now, Jim's not here today. But I preached one time, and I told him, I said, just do it. God speaks to you, just do it. Jim come up to me a week later. And Jim said, I want to tell you something. He said, I was on a job and a guy was sick. He said, and I remember what you said, just do it. He said, I went up and prayed for that man. Hey, that's all it takes. That's all God's looking for. He's looking for obedience in you and in your life and my life. We had a man that worked with us on the job after my buddy got saved. We had another man that worked with us. He worked with us quite a while, and we would witness to this man. Kind of hard to witness to him, you know. He would say things sometimes, but nonetheless, we would always tell him about the love of God and how God could save him, you know, and what God could do in his life for him and stuff like that. So it just so happened one night that a few weeks later. In his neighborhood, his wife had a friend that lived next door to him. Very skittish type person, a woman. I don't know of anybody like that, do you? Real skittish. Every noise they hear, they jump. Well, this woman was like that. So she calls his house and tells his wife somebody's trying to get in her front door. Well, she could look across the yard and see whether there was anybody or not. Well, his wife runs out the door, immediately goes over to the door, knocks on the door, but steps to the side. And about that time, a .357 bullet come right through the door. She was so distraught and so scared that when she knocked on the door, she was standing there with the gun shaking. And the girl just immediately stepped, and when she stepped, she pulled the trigger. And he said after it was all done over with, him and his wife walked back over there. And he got his wife to stand in front of that door, and he said it would have hit her. Center of her chest, dead center of her chest. Now, that touched his heart. That got to him. He saw immediately how a life could be snuffed out just like that. And you know what? There's lives are being snuffed every day just like that. And we sit and we know we have the lifeline to throw them. But we don't throw it. We're holding it back. Why are we holding it back? Why are we sitting in our pews and in our comfortable homes and stuff, and we have a lifeline to throw people that are drowned, but we won't let go of it? A lot of times it's because of fear, what people will say to you. Don't worry about the persecution. Don't worry about being persecuted. Think about that soul that's drowning in sin and needs a lifeline, and that lifeline is Jesus Christ. If we would only cast it out, we could save it. Now, my buddy Tony, we fish a lot. So, you know, my knees have been giving me trouble. So I'm up pulling the anchor one day. He said, let me get this cushion, because you're going in that water if you don't be careful up there. He was going to throw me that life jacket. I can swim, but he still was going to throw me a life jacket. You know what? We ought to be that way. We ought to have that same kind of spirit within us, or that tenacity, you know. Hey, man, there's people that are lost. I need to reach this person. There are people in our family that need to be reached. There are people around us in our neighborhoods that need to be reached for God. Now, I know what some people say, but man, you just don't understand. I'm so timid and shy. You don't know timid and shy. I'm telling you. Ron, he shared with us how timid and shy he was. I try to tell people I was the same way. Till I come out of this shell, till the Lord got a hold of me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. I come out of that shell. I was no longer silent anymore. I wasn't bashful or backwards anymore. I wanted to tell everybody about the love of God and Jesus Christ. I got a little great-grandson. He was timid and shy, and he went to school, and not long after he was in school, the teacher sent a note to the granddaughter. She said, Rhody has come out of his shell, but sometime we wish he would go back in it. Jesus told them, you're going to do this, you're going to do these things by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send you a comforter. And he will come and he will be your remembrance. He will guide you in all things and he will tell you what the Father wants you to hear. You see, God has given us his Spirit and we need to use that power that's within us. Let me tell you something. It came on the day of Pentecost when those disciples, when Christ told them, I want you to go into Jerusalem, I want you to go and I want you to pray. Prayer is the key to everything that we do spiritually. It's the key to everything. You want to grow strong in the Lord? You want boldness in God? Let me tell you something. Start praying and asking God for boldness. And let God fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, in case somebody tells you, the baptism in the Holy Ghost is not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continual thing. And don't let anybody ever tell you that it is a one-time thing, because it's not. All you got to do is read the Scripture. When those disciples went in that upper room, they come out, let me tell you something, they turned the world upside down. They was different from the time they went in. Peter had denied Christ 3 times. He had denied him. And Christ told him he would do that. But this time, there was boldness in Peter. Peter spoke to that crowd, that Sanhedrin. He stood up and spoke to that crowd. Were they persecuted? Yeah, there was some of them saying, they are drunk. These guys are drunk. Peter said, how could we be drunk? It's only the third hour. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. The pubs and the taverns are not open. People want to say those things. But you shouldn't let it bother you, because you know who you are. You know who lives within you, and you shouldn't let people intimidate you. Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Praise God. Oh, we get a little nervous sometimes, but you know one thing? God comes along beside us, doesn't it? Holy Spirit whispers, I'm with you. I got your back. I'll tell you what to say. I'll use you. I'll tell you what to say. If you will just open your... The Word of God said, if we'll open our mouth, he will fill it. In one day, Peter, the boldness Peter had from the Holy Spirit in that upper room, 3,000 souls were added to the church. Whoop. One little sermon, 3,000 souls came to Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, and God added to the church daily. It's God, not you. It's not me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. It's nothing that we can do, but it's what we can do through Jesus Christ. Allowing him to work in and through us and being an instrument for God, and allow the Holy Spirit to direct our lives. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, not your power. He said, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I know some people get on me sometime about saying, well, you talk about the way it used to be. Yes, I do. I do talk about the way it used to be, because we need to hear those things sometimes. And when you hear me say that what I used to see and what used to happen in the church, it ought to spark a desire in your heart to see it now in the presence. It ought to spark something in you to think, well, how did that happen back then? I can tell you how it happened back then. It happened by people getting on their knees and praying and seeking for the Holy Ghost and getting up and putting action to those prayers. You see, nothing ever gets done by sitting on your hands. When I joined the Marines, they drilled it into me, there's no such word as can't. It's not even in the dictionary. Now, if they say that, what should we say? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God said, the victory is yours. The battle is mine. The victory is yours. All we have to do is be an instrument for God. Open our mouth and let him use us by his presence and his power. He said, these things I've spoken to you. This is a promise from God. Let me tell you something. What is the old song we were saying? Standing on the promises. You remember that song? Some of you don't. You weren't even born. Let me tell you something. I cut my teeth on some of them songs. But they're true. I'm telling you, these people, that if you go back and look into history and listen to some of these songs, these things are talking about the things that these people went through and how God delivered them and brought the victory to them. God will bring the victory if you allow him. He will give you the victory. We need to let that Holy Spirit. He said there will be springs of living water. Whoo, glory to God. That will well up within your innermost beings. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. I don't know about you, but it's exciting to me. And if you're not excited about God, I am. And I know that he's going to do more. I like it what he told Ahaz when it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. He told the prophet, you go tell Ahaz he better get to the palace because it's going to rain. I hear the abundance of a sound of rain. Hallelujah. I'm looking for it. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for it. Right here in Love and Truth Community Church, I'm listening for that sound of the abundance of rain, that rain of the Holy Spirit that God has said He's going to pour down in our midst. We have to wait for it. It's in God's time and His plan, not in ours, but in His. We can't get ahead of God. We have to walk in step with God, don't we? Yes, we do. God said, they said, well, how will we do these things? He said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, the helper, but the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You will remember those words. When you're going through a trial or test, or you're going through a hard place in life, those scriptures are going to come to you. The Holy Spirit's going to whisper them to you, especially when you seek Him. You ever seen an excited person that just they get so upset they can't do nothing? Excited people get hurt, especially in a fight. That's right. The calm person is standing there, and this excited person is running off at the mouth, getting all excited. Next thing you know, poof! It's over with. We have to let the Lord work in and through us and fill us with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't get anxious for anything. Let Him move in and through your life. Peter began to speak, and the Holy Spirit came down and begin to convict. And the people's lives were touched. And people, they said to Peter, but Peter, you know, this gets me. I don't know why, but it does. Maybe it's just because of my age, I guess, or, you know, what I was taught. But it's scriptural. People are going to get upset with you when you tell them the truth. The Word of God called Jesus a cornerstone. He said, the stone is going to be an offense to you, to those that are lost. But to us, it's life. But he says in the end of that thing, he says, but you will never be put to shame. What are you afraid of? What can man do to me? What can he do to me? Nothing. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, People get upset when you tell them where they're living at, especially when God has told you to go to them. You can't judge me. Well, I'm not judging you. God is. I'm telling you what God has come to me. Peter went to those people. He said, listen to me. He said, you crucified Him. You crucified the Savior of the world. They were cut to the heart, but they were convicted over that thing. And they all said, but what must we do? Peter said, repent, be baptized, and let God move in your life. And they did that. 3,000 people came to Jesus Christ in one day. 3,000. You know what? If Peter hadn't stood up and said something, the gospel wouldn't have been preached that day, would it? God moved in those disciples' lives. Let me tell you something. They were never the same after Pentecost. That word went out. God said, greater things will you do? Let me tell you something. Them guys went into to everywhere. They went everywhere. They were scattered. The church was scattered because of persecution, but it was a good thing. You see, everything that happens is not always bad. Sometimes there's a good in it. God got them out of their comfort zone. He sent them out into the world, and they turned the world upside down with their ministry and the things that God. People were healed. Demons were cast out. People were healed. Oh, we don't do those things today. Oh, yes, we do. People will tell you that, and you have ministers that will teach you that these things were done in the apostles' day, and that's over with. That's not what I just read. He said the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, will be with you. Is the Holy Spirit with you? I know He's with me. Oh, praise God, I know he's with me. And as long as the presence and the Spirit of God is with me, then God is still working these things, isn't he? Oh, yes, he is. But he puts a stipulation on that thing, though, didn't he? He said, if you obey my commands. Oh, yeah. If you obey my words and my commands, he said, and you love me, then you will do these things. Whatsoever you ask in my name, he said, that I'll do. As long as it's bringing glory to the Father. You remember when Christ raised Lazarus from the dead? You know what he told him? He said, this was done to the glory of God, to bring glory to God. Praise God. I'm telling you, I've seen God move a lot of times in people's lives. I've seen miracles. I've seen people healed. I've seen people saved. You name it, brother. Let me tell you something. It was exciting. And you know what? You can have as much of God as you want. It's up to you. It's entirely up to you. My friend that's wife had almost got shot. I'm going to tell you the end of the story. I know some of you are sitting there and saying, well, she's finishing the story. He comes to work and he tells us the story. He said, man, my wife almost got killed. And we shed a little more word with him. Stan, God spared your wife. There's reasons for these things. God spared your wife. About a week later, we was working on a Saturday morning, pouring down rain. Oh, man, it was just raining like you'd never seen it. Stan comes in. Well, you could look and see something was wrong with Stan. He didn't have that smile on his face. He had a sad countenance. And I'm standing in a little area, getting ready to go into another area. I'm standing, I had to put all these lab clothes, shoes, and hats and stuff on to go into this area. And I'm standing there with all my garb on. Stan comes in, and Stan hung his head. I said, what's up, Stan? He began to weep. He said, what y'all been talking to me about? And I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit. Woo. I said, then what you want to do about it? He said, man, I'm ready. I took all my stuff off. I said, come on, Stan, go with me. We get in a little cart. I had to do this anyway. I had a 55-gallon drum of stuff on there. I had to take it to another area. I said, come on, go with me. Out in the middle of the pouring down rain, in that cart, the Spirit of God began to come in and cleanse that old sinful life, and Stan wept his way to Jesus Christ. Praise God. This is what God's saying he wants you to do. He wants to do through you. He wants to reach people for him if you will just do those things. If you will just be a voice and say, God, use me. I know there's timid and shy people that just are not like some of us, that we can just walk up and talk to anybody. I know that. But you know what? If you will pray and seek God, God will give you that boldness. If you will get full of the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit fill you with his presence and in his power, let me tell you something. God will give you a boldness like you've never seen before. Yes, indeed, he will. I saw a man led to the Lord on a job. One man told him, says, stop the machine right now. And he bowed his head and gave his life to Jesus Christ on the job. Praise God. My wife and a group of girls and the pastor's wife went on a trip one time up to the Potomac Park camp. And they had a little girl outing up there, and something was going on, and I can't remember what it was now. Something happened to the pastor's wife's hand. Did she cut it or mash it or something? Dislocated her wrist. My wife and the girls got around her and prayed for her, and God touched her immediately, just like that. Immediately, just like that. You see, God's still doing those things through us. He said, greater works will you do. Greater works will you do. God put us here for a reason, to be a light to other people, to let our light so shine that people will see Christ in us. He says, don't put your light, don't hide it. He said, who would do that? Who would set a candle on a lampstand and put a bushel over it? But you set it up there for everybody to see. Oh, now, brother, we don't want to make no spectacle of ourselves. God's not going to make a spectacle of you. He's a perfect gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He will never embarrass you or never shame you. I'm telling you, he won't. Let God do the work through you. Stay out of God's way and just be obedient unto him. And watch what he does. Watch how he works in and through you. And see what he will do. And oh, let me tell you something. You talking about excitement? Ooh, let me tell you. I remember going to a lady's house one time. The woman was sick. And I walked in the door. And the woman, here she come on a cane. She just couldn't hardly move. She says, I got a letter from a preacher today. She said, he told me to expect a miracle. And you're here. Praise God. You don't think that won't excite you? Well, I prayed for that woman. I want to tell you something. God touched her by the power of the Holy Spirit, not because of me, but because of me allowing God to work through me. By the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, God touched that life, and two other women that were in that group, the following Sunday, they were in church on their knees giving their life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I went in a man's house one time and prayed for his baby. His baby was sick. God healed him, healed that child instantly. The next day they were in church on their knees giving their life to Jesus Christ. God wants to work. He's still working by his presence and his power and by his Spirit if you will allow him to. Don't let people tell you that miracles and stuff are not happening today because God is still working those things. He's still doing them. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I change not. He hasn't changed not one bit. We're the ones that's changed. We're the ones that's become silent in our praise and worship and in our witnesses for Jesus Christ. It's us. God hasn't gone anywhere. It's just like the old farmer and his wife riding down the road in a car. Here they're up in age, you know, before that they were young and vibrant, you know. Here they're going down the road. Farmer sitting over here, wife sitting over here. She turns and looks at him. She says, you know one thing? When we were young, we used to sit close to each other. Old farmer never took his eyes off the road. He just said, I ain't moved. God hasn't gone anywhere. He ain't gone anywhere. We're the ones that moved. We haven't moved closer to him. We've moved further away from him. We don't need that, do we? No, sir, we don't need that. James 1:21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. He says in verse 22, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers of the word only. You know, it's nice to come in here. I like coming in here and sliding my feet up under the table and listening. It's easy to come in and listen and leave here and never do anything about what you've been taught. Christ, his word says, don't be just hearers. Anybody can sit and listen, but it takes something else to get up and do something, doesn't it? It takes you to put an action to those prayers and what you have been taught. I'm telling you, it's exciting when you lead somebody to Jesus Christ. God puts you somewhere and you begin to speak the words of God, and that Holy Spirit begins to minister to them, and they begin to cry and shake and quake from the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you lead them into sinner's prayer, and they give their life to Christ. How much much more exciting can it get? Praise God. I used to, going to the nursing home, man. People say, oh, those people are so old. And let me tell you something. They are lost souls and they need Jesus. You know what one of those old ladies told me one time? And I'm not throwing off any of you older ladies today. No, don't go to Ron after the service and say, he called me an old lady. That ain't what I'm saying. She said, I want to tell you something. She come to me after I preached. She said, we need this more than anybody does. She said, because we're close to the grave. That's what she told me. We need this, she said. I used to have another one. She would sit on it. She would sit in the front seat, on it, right on the chair. Sometimes I thought, man, she's going to fall at the chair. Oh, my goodness, a woman's going to fall. She would get it. You see her giving it one of these numbers. And she was itching up on the seat. Man, the Holy Spirit was moving, and I was preaching, man. And, she would get so excited. That's why she'd just jump in that seat. I said, man, she's going to come right to the seat. Oh, my goodness. Then I would finish my sermon up. I said, well, I think I preached long enough today. I said, I don't want to hold my tie. That thing would jump up and holler. No, I was just fixing to tell you. Preach another one, she said. Praise God. Excitement. That was excitement in there. Man, I'm telling you. Whew, those people would preach me to death sometimes over there. I had one woman, she told me one time, I didn't see her in the service, so I said, well, let me go down here and check on her. Miss Fitzgerald, and I will forget her. I walked in the room, and one of the family members was in there. She said, oh, Mr. Williams, you the hardest man to find. She said, I've been looking for you for a month. See, I only went once a month. She said, I got something I want to tell you. She looks over at the woman. I need to talk to him. So the lady gets up and she said, I'll be your sad. She said, Mr. Williams, they just brought me word this morning that my husband died. I said, well, I'm sorry, honey. Then she said, that ain't what I want to tell you. I mean, she was just excited. That ain't what I wanted to tell you, she said. I said, well, what is it, Miss Fitzgerald, you want to tell me? She said, you might not remember this, but the last time you was over here and you preached that sermon and you told us if we would say that prayer and believe it in our hearts that we will be saved. I said, yeah, I remember that. She said, well, I got saved. Praise God. Let me tell you something. There's people out here that need to be saved and they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has commissioned you. Praise God. He didn't say when you get saved to sit down and not do anything. But he has put a calling on your life, each and every one of us, to be instruments of God. Oh, I could go on and on and on and tell you things like that. What God has done. You know what? One of these days when I get to heaven, I'm going to see Miss Fitzgerald again. Praise God. I like that song. I forgot who sang it and I forgot the name of it. That's what happens when you get a little age on you, forget. But you know what? I know what the gist of that song was saying. That man, when he got to heaven, that child come to him and says, you don't remember me, but you taught me in Sunday school. And I'm here today because of your testimony. What do people see in you? What kind of life are you living in front of people? Do they see Christ or do they see something else? What is your life without Christ? I know what mine was, but I know what my life is with Christ. Hallelujah. I haven't been the same. I haven't been the same since I accepted Him as Lord and Savior. I have been changed, and that's what He said would happen. Thou a transformation would take place. He said the old will leave and the new will come. You'll be a new creation in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Quit holding on to the old life. Let it go. And get in the Word of God and let God work in and through you. Let Him do these things, these greater works that He said He would do. Let Him use you. Romans 10:11 says, for the scripture says, whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame. God will use you if you will allow him to. Praise God. Open your hearts to God and watch what he does. Oh, I'm telling you, these disciples, when they went in that upper room, they were commanded by God to go in the upper room. He says, you wait for the promise that I have already promised you. He promised them that. He says, this is a promise that I want you to go and I want you to wait and tarry there till you be endued with power from on high. I'm going to send the comforter to you. Praise God. He's still sending the comforter, isn't he? Yes, indeed. That's people that don't believe that today. But let me tell you something. I believe it. If you experience something, nobody can take that away from you, can they? You know. You know that you know. Yes, indeed. You know that you know what God has done in and through your life. Seek God. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get filled with the Holy Ghost with your mouth shut. It takes you giving God some praise and glory and seeking God. Praise God. And let me tell you something. The enemy of your soul is going to come against you because he doesn't want you to have what God has promised you. And he's going to throw everything at you that he can to stop you from doing that. He's going to use every trick in the book. He's going to use every excuse that can come up to keep you from digging in and seeking God for your life. I'm telling you, it happens. I'm going to tell something on my daughter. Some of you probably heard me tell it before. I ain't going to tell you what her name is, but her initials are Lisa. So, anyway, she is seeking for the Holy Spirit. And she said, Daddy, every time I'd get down, the kids would show themselves. I'm telling on the children, too, back there now. They're getting red-faced. She said, the kids would show themselves. She said, at one point, Jacob come in the room and was punching me in the stomach one time when I was praying. They'll deal with me later. I said, honey, let me tell you what you need to do. I said, you need to lock the door and tell God you don't care if they tear the house down. You want the Holy Ghost. And you know what happened? She did what I told her to do, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And she ain't been the same either since. Praise God. You want it? Ask God for it. It just don't happen. It just don't happen. You ask God for it. Let that be a desire of your heart more than anything in this world. You see, if you want something bad enough, it's the same. It's a way with us in our lives. Our lives that if we see something we want bad enough, we're going to do everything that we can to get it. We'll even work two jobs to get it. We'll go to great lengths and sacrifice this and that to get what we want for our pleasures. But the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then these things will be added unto you. Why do you seek these things over the things of God? You seek God's kingdom first. You seek His righteousness first. And guess what happens? Then these things come. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways unto Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That's what the Word of God says. God wants to prosper you. Blessings come from God. Yes, they do. But God wants us to be in a right standing with Him first, doesn't He? Yes, indeed. And then those blessings come. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I am blessed. I'm blessed beyond measure. And God, you know what? Blessings don't always come monetarily either. Don't always come materially. But we can be blessed spiritually. And to me, that's the best blessing ever, is to be blessed spiritually. Oh, hallelujah. I love it. I love it. If you don't want yours, I'll take it to the trash can for you. Praise God. That's what I tell my grandkids. Y'all don't want to eat that? Give it to me. I'll take it to the trash can for you. I want all I can get from God. I love it. I want all I can get from Him. I love those blessings from God. I love it when God uses me. I tell you what's really exciting. When you're out somewhere and God says, I want you to speak to that person over there. You see that person over there? I want you to go over there and I want you to tell them about me. Oh, that person's having a bad day. And I want you to go over there and pray for them. God, you want me to pray for them right here in this store? Yeah. Yeah, so what? If somebody sees you, they might get excited. They might see something and come to Jesus Christ. How many times you ever prayed for somebody in a Wilder World? It just ain't for shopping. You can pray for people in Wilder World. Me and my wife prayed for a lady in there one night. Me and the pastor prayed one time. Pastor Chuck, we prayed for a lady in Sam's one time. God touched her. God touched her. Doesn't make any difference where you are. Be obedient to God and let God use you. You see, that's what happened with the disciples. Wherever they went, they touched people's lives. Wherever they went, things happened because they were willing to be used of God. God wants to use you wherever you are. I prayed for a woman on the job one time, right in the cafeteria. I went around there one morning to get me a cup of coffee, and she met me coming around the door. She said, oh, Fred, I want to tell you something. My throat is so bad this morning. My throat is so sore. And the Lord said, pray for her. I said, come here, girl. I reached and grabbed her by the throat. I didn't choke her. I laid hands on her. And I prayed for her. And I left. Lunchtime, I come back around and here she come running out there. Oh, Fred, I got to just tell you something. Whew. She said, my throat's gone. She said, you know one thing? She said, when you touched me and laid your hand on me, she said, I felt the Spirit of God come on me, she said. Whew. And people said, they're afraid of that? Mm. No. Praise God for God's marvelous works. God wants to work in and through you, just like he did these disciples. If you will just allow him to do it. If you will seek his face. Seek God's face. Believe. You see, he said, if thou canst believe, got to believe God can do these things, and God will do them. God will never shame you. He'll never embarrass you. But he will always be on your side. Praise God. Stand with me, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word today, Lord. Whew, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, the enemy of my soul, Father, came against me this week, but you gave me the victory, Father. Father, your word said you have overcome the world, Lord. And if you be for me, who can be against me, Father? Lord, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you for these that have sat so patiently, Lord, and attentive to the sound of my voice. Lord, as you spoke through me, Father, by the Spirit of God, not with the wisdom of man, but with the Spirit of God, Father. Thank you today for that message, God. Thank you, Father, for that time of worship that we had with you today, God. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to pray. If there's anyone in this service today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, I want you to step out that pew. You see, Jesus, everybody that Jesus called, he called them publicly. And come down, and I want to pray with you. You see, the Holy Spirit, that's how the Holy Spirit works. He begins to speak to your heart while you're standing in that pew, while you're standing there, and the message is coming back to your remembrance. I remember when I got saved, the message that the pastor preached, standing just like you are right now, the Spirit of God was speaking to me and said, those things that he was saying to you. And I answered that call, and I stepped out when he says, come on down and give your life to Christ. You don't know Jesus today? God's not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to pray with you. I want to introduce you to my Lord, my Savior. Praise God. If you don't know Jesus today, come on down. Come on down. Praise God. Maybe you've gotten away from God a little bit. Maybe you're not as exuberant for God as you used to be. Maybe you've let the things and the cares of the world creep in and taking you away from God, or taking your thoughts and stuff away from God. You say, well, I need to get myself back right with God. My mother passed away, and there were two young ladies. One of them rededicated her life to Christ, and the other one gave her life to Christ right after my mother's funeral. Because those preachers that preached her funeral talked about her life and how she loved God. You see, God can work in any situation. Where are you with God today? Ask yourself that question. Where am I today? What is my life? What have I done with my life? What have I done with what God has given me? You see, the Word of God teaches me that we wasn't bought with such things as silver, corruptible things, is what the Word says, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son. Or maybe you just need to spend just a few minutes in prayer. Now, I know I went over a little time here today, but that's okay. That's okay. Why don't you just come? Why don't you just come and step out of your pew just for a few minutes and talk to the Lord? Give him a few minutes today. You know, this way nobody knows anything but except for you and God. Nobody knows anything but you and God. You want to be used more of God? Come on down and pray a little bit and talk to God and tell him how you want him to use you. Now, if you have to leave, you're dismissed. You can go. But if you want to stay here and pray a few minutes, we welcome you to come and pray with us. God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. You see, it's just like an old friend. You hadn't heard from him for years, and all of a sudden, one day, you think about it, and you pick the phone up, and you call him, and your friend says, oh, man, it's so good to hear your voice. You see, I just buried a friend of mine about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm going to miss him. Because I kept in touch with him. You know what? We need to keep in touch with God. We need to keep in touch with him. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. While these folks are praying, if you want to leave, you leave. You want to fellowship a little bit, please go out in the foyer and fellowship while these people are praying. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus.